I want to turn back to the book of Genesis this afternoon. The book of Genesis chapter 3. And you're dealing with the fall of man here. But there's some things that are taught to us that we should do that you can say, well, it's punishment in one way, but yet God's teaching good morals and providing for oneself in another sense. And I really want to look at living an honest life. And what that consists of, and even how we're to get gain in this world. And I pray that it could be a blessing to us as we look forward and go through some things in Scripture. Before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. And Father, You've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct by Your Holy Spirit. May Your will be accomplished, Father. And Father, help us to grow as Your people, that we could be the light in this world that You'd have us to be. And Father, we don't want to be just a light so that we could just have a good name. We know the importance of that. But Father, we want to be Your light in this world, that others could see Christ within us and desire the same salvation we have through Your Son. For Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. I'll say this, even before the fall here, Adam and Eve had a responsibility to tend the Garden of Eden. I don't know how hard that was. That might have been just a very easy task compared to what would come. There wasn't the thorns and the thistles and all those other things to deal with, but they were to still tend to it, to take care of what God had given them. And they had that responsibility. But after sin, we find, and I'm going to pick up in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 3, said, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And he tells him about the sweat of his brow, and he tells him, about how he's going to have to work, even with the thorns and the thistles, and he's going to eat of that herb of the field, that he's going to have to labor and really work for it. And anybody that's ever planted a garden knows that there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's not just planting something and leaving it alone, but you've got to tend to it. You've got to take care of it. And I guess thorns and thistles are one of the biggest things you have to deal with. I got acquainted with a tool early on in life, being around my meemaw and being around my grandparents. And I got acquainted with a tool called a hoe. And Papaw tried to tell me, "Now you're going to learn how to use this thing and use it well." I despised that tool as a child. I really didn't like it unless I was digging up some worms to go fishing with. I didn't like having to work that hard just to keep the grass back and the thorns back and try to keep the rows clear where you could go down and get your crops when they came in. But yet it was a necessary thing, and part of that was a reminder that, sin has brought work into the world and even hard work from the sweat of our face that we had earned things. But you notice that God teaches us that we're to earn it. That we're to work and we're to till that ground and we're to work that ground and we're to earn what we have. Now that is a good thing. There's a lot of people in this world that think, well, life should just be simple. Life should be easy. And sadly, there's many of them that would like to take advantage of other people to get gain. They'd like to misuse people to get gain, and some even hope that they can go and gamble or go and win the lottery, and that'll get them gain. Of course, I remind people, wherever gambling goes, your pawn shops just jump up left and right. A lot of people lose a lot of their possessions. I don't recommend gambling. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not trying to go around and and just, you know, try to get them removed from every place, but I do advise God's people, that's not a place we need to go. If we're going to earn money or get gain, it needs to be in an honest way. That God has taught us to make an honest living. And that we're even to understand the value of work. When you work for something, you appreciate it, don't you? When you've earned something, you've gone out and you've worked. I think years ago, when I first started driving a vehicle and had a job, and I'm not saying this in any type of bragging way, it just is what it is. When I was driving around an S10 pickup truck years ago, it's actually a GMC Sonoma, but an S10's what it is in a Chevrolet. But I was driving that thing around, and it was a stick shift. Well, as a teenage boy, I like to hear those tires make a little noise every now and then. Ball the tires just a little bit and, you know, burn a little rubber. And that's just normally what a teenager will do. Well, my daddy knew what I was doing. I came to him one day and said, "Dad, you know, the tread's kind of wearing out on the tires." And I was working at Piggly Wiggly making $4.25 an hour. And he said, "Son, if you need some new tires, you need to save up your money and go get them. Do you know how much it costs for 4 new tires on a pickup truck, even back then?" It was a good bit of money, and I didn't just count the money. I counted all the hours that I worked to get those tires. It took several weeks' worth of work for me to pay for those tires, making the money that I was making. And I thought about that, and listen, the burning the rubber, so to speak, kind of stopped when you started paying for those tires. You appreciate them a lot more when you paid for them out of your own pocket. When you thought about all the hours and all the work that you've done. And for me, working at Piggly Wiggly, all the cans that I had stacked and all the floors I had swept and mopped and done all those different things. Listen, there was a whole lot of work. And I said, that's a whole lot of work for a little bit of enjoyment. And I tell you what, it solved the problem of spinning the tires out on the truck. It made something different because I knew the sweat, the effort that it took to get what I had. And it makes a difference. I tell you, if somebody else is buying your food, you can waste it away. But I tell you what, when you start paying for your own food, you're a little bit more careful about what you put on your plate, about eating leftovers, about taking care of some things, because you know what it took to get that food. And when you earn something, you appreciate it a lot more. It means something to you. And God knew that about us. And He wasn't just giving us a punishment there. He was even helping us to understand that there's a value in work. And when you work for that food and you till that ground and that's what you're going to eat of, when you put that labor in, you appreciate it. I tell you what, there's some people who might have eaten a lot of tomatoes in their life, but when they've tilled that ground to eat those tomatoes, they appreciate them a lot more than somebody just goes and picks them up. Same way with cucumbers or corn or anything else. But I want to read some scriptures to us in the book of Proverbs, and we'll turn maybe to one or other two places after the book of Proverbs to try to be a help and a blessing to us and help us to see that labor is a good thing and earning something is a good thing. Let's start in chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs. And just going to read a few verses. In verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 16, it says, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." God's trying to get across the point. You can have great wealth, but it doesn't mean anything. Growing up, I had a song that became one of my favorites. I still listen to it. But the song was called Dirt Road. It's a person talking about, "I'll take the dirt road because I know the work and the labor is basically the essence of the song." Somebody that's got an easy street, somebody that's got things easier in life, they don't really understand the value of what they have. And I've always thought about that, and the Lord's trying to teach us. Sometimes we think, well, more is better. More isn't always better. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you'll never hear me preach against money in and of itself, but you will hear me preach against the love of money. There are some people who will compromise their integrity. They'll compromise what's right to get a revenue, to get a gain. And God doesn't teach us that. He teaches that it's better to have a little with righteousness than to have great revenues without right. That doing what is right is more valuable than getting more gain. Standing for the truth, standing for what's right, getting things in an honest fashion, in an honest way, that's better. And that's a lesson that we need to remember. And we don't want to get revenues without righteousness. There's nothing wrong with somebody having even a lot of things in life if they earned it. I have no problem. In fact, I've even told people, even in America, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, in a study I did several years ago, that 90% of all American millionaires are first-generation millionaires. You know what that means? They earned it. It wasn't handed to them. It wasn't given to them. And certainly, that's not somebody just buying a lottery ticket or going to a casino and just having something thrown into their lap. The people that get that earned it. And you'll be amazed if you'd even study the millionaires in America. Most people don't even know they're millionaires if they watched them, because they'll be driving older vehicles. Because they're not trying to show off how much money they got. They've worked and they've saved and they've labored. And they earned something. Well, nothing's wrong with earning something, is it? Even if it's great revenue, if it's earned correctly, there's nothing wrong with it. I look at Job. I look at Abraham. You know, they were blessed of God as far as financially speaking, but yet at the same time, they earned it. Y'all remember when a king came to Abraham and tried to offer him a reward for a victory? And he said, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to let somebody else say that they made me rich. He thought that was an ill way to get gain. And he wouldn't even receive it. You even think with Abraham and Lot, you remember Lot took the better piece of land, didn't he? Who ended up better? Lot took the better piece of ground. He took those well-watered plains of Jordan, didn't he? Looked like that would work out better. Who ended up being better off at the end? Abraham did. He put God first. He put working and trying to get along with his brother. As he said, we be brethren and trying to make peace and seeking peace and ensuing it as the Bible teaches us. And in the long run, Abraham was a lot better off than Lot was, wasn't he? And I'll even say this, for a time, Lot did pretty good, didn't he? He was known in the gates of the city, wasn't he? You don't get that place from nothing. But what happened? Everything that he had labored for in an ill manner, chasing those riches above the things of God. Even the city he lived in was destroyed. His wife turned into a pillar of salt because he put revenue above doing what's right. It didn't work out better for him, did it? It's better to have a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Turn over to chapter 21. In verse 6, it says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Getting treasures by what? Lying. There are a lot of people in this world that have got gain because they've lied. You ever done business with somebody and felt like they took advantage of you, misused you in some way to get an extra dollar off of you? That's not a good feeling, and it's certainly not what God teaches His people to do. We're not to get gain from lying. We'd rather tell the truth even to our own hurt is what the Bible teaches us to do. But lying to get treasure? No, that's not something we do. We're to live an honest and peaceable life in this world. We're to live an upright life as God has called us to be. Over in chapter 22, in verse 16, he says, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Does God approve of us oppressing somebody to get gain for ourselves? No. To give unto the rich, to kind of gain favor with people, there's groups of people in this world who kind of use one another to increase their riches. There's billionaires in the world that have sometimes, you know, used their influence and used their businesses that says, hey, we'll kind of cut out this competitor of yours over here, and we'll help you and it'll help our business, and they'll get gain. But they use it in a horrible way. And a lot of times their competitor is somebody small. And there's a lot of big businesses that have done a lot of work to try to put the mom and pops out of business over the year, haven't they? To try to tear down the little man, so to speak. And says, if we can get rid of them, we can get more gain for ourselves. They're already millionaires. They're already doing good for themselves. But yet sometimes they'll try and just stomp out the little man just trying to make a living for his family just so they can make a little extra dollar. The Bible's not for that. The Bible's not for us oppressing the poor so that we can get a little bit more gain for ourselves. And again, what this comes to is an honest living. An honest and upright life. The Bible teaches us to have a clear conscience, to live an honorable life, an upright life. Even in the book of Acts chapter 6, you'll find there, as they were setting aside this time, we believe they were setting aside the first deacons. Notice some of the things that they mentioned. He said in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6, he said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. They were going to be appointed over some business. And God says, now make sure they have an honest report. You know, one of the qualifications for ministers is that we can't be greedy of filthy lucre. If a man's given to the lust for gold or silver or these type of things, he's not qualified to be a minister because he'll seek gain instead of the truth of God's Word, won't he? Man, if I preach that, you know, it might hurt my offering. Oh, I'll preach this false thing. You know, even in some churches here in America, there's times that politicians and different people have gone to churches and said, man, we can get influence over this community if you'll preach what we want. There's a lot of history on that in a lot of different areas. Abortion's one of those areas. Do you know that they went into a lot of communities and had the preachers uphold abortion and even gave them money? Even the founder of Planned Parenthood and different things went and gave money to people so that they could kill people? Oh, if you'll preach this for us, we'll line your pockets for you. There are a lot of people who sold out God. They've taken their 50 pieces of silver, so to speak, and they've ran with it. But the gospel's more important than that. God looks for people with integrity, uprightness. I even look at the Apostle Paul, and you turn over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and he set the example for the church. Now, that's such a wonderful thing, to set the example. And he said in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Notice that statement. He talks about being disorderly. Going out of order, doing things that God is not honored with. He said, we didn't do that. We didn't, we didn't behave ourselves in a disorderly way. He said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. In other words, we didn't take advantage of people. We didn't misuse the authority that we've had. How many people have been discouraged from even Christianity because they've seen people, whether through radio or television or different places, Oh, if you send us, you know, $100, $1,000, or whatever, God's going to greatly answer prayer because you supported our ministry. How much damage has that done to the gospel over the years? And not just in big churches, not just in big places. I can name you some small town churches where there were ministers that looked for the money. There was church members and treasurers that looked for the money above the people. There's times that you find where treasurers have even taken the money from the churches. And all of a sudden the church finds out that they may have had, you know, $10,000 in the bank, and all of a sudden it's nothing. How much damage does that do to the gospel? That's why Paul told Timothy, commit thou these things unto faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. You got to have some faithful people. Whether it's in a place of a deacon, whether it's in place of a treasurer, whether it's in place of teaching and being a Sunday school teacher or minister or whatever it is, that God teaches we look for people of honest report. People who are willing to make an honest living, even with the sweat of their brow. He said, we didn't eat nobody's bread for naught, but wrought with labor. Notice that word, labor. And travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, he didn't want to put an extra burden on the people that God didn't have for them. Giving is taught in the Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that, and we certainly support if a man can be work and be faithful and be supported by the gospel, nothing wrong with that. But if a man sometimes needs to pay bills and different things, there's nothing wrong with him working to take care of those things either, is there? And Paul set that example that he was willing to work, that he wasn't going to put that extra burden on people. He said, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. He wanted to set an example for God's people that you're willing to work. Being willing to work is a good thing. He said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Just a very basic premise. If a person is not willing to put some work in, to put some sweat in, then they're not able to eat. I even look back in the Old Testament and I think about, you know, that even as they left some out in the field for people to glean, for the needy, even what we would call the poor, the hungry, they left some food out there, but who had to go into the field and get it? You look in the book of Ruth. What did Ruth have to do? She had to go into that field and gather it. There was some sweat involved, wasn't there? There was some work involved. Even if something was left for you to receive, God still taught, I'm going to put some work on you that you have to go and gather it. Now certainly if somebody was unable to do that, then others could come up and help them. And certainly when people are unable to take care of themselves, we certainly have that responsibility. But if they were able-bodied, for them to even get the food, they had to get up, go into the field, and gather it. And if a person wouldn't work, well, they've chosen not to eat. He said, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. That's not an honest life, is it? That's not a godly life. God doesn't want us mistreating the poor. He doesn't want us lying to people. And He doesn't want us being lazy. He said there were some working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. What's God teaching us there? It is right for us to provide for ourselves. At all possible, if we were able-bodied and we are able to take care of ourselves, we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be willing to sweat. We're supposed to be willing to work. We're supposed to be willing to do. And a lot of people don't know what work is. And I don't say that lightly, but there's people that work at some stores, and I think they play on their cell phones all day long and still expect a big check and still expect to come home, and they haven't done any work. Earning something is important. And I appreciate people when they work, and I know some people seem to be overworked sometimes. Listen, I've known people that have worked 70, 80 plus hours a week. I hear some people say, man, I put in my full 8 hours today. And I just grew up with people, and I've told many, many times, listen, I just grew up with people, both of my grandparents, a lot of the men I was around, my own father. I just saw them when they got to 40 hours, they might be about midway done for the week. And I've had good examples set before me that they took care of their family. I could even brag upon my mother. She paid for her own wedding because Papa let her farm some of his land and let her take it unto the farmer's market and sell it. And that's how Mama paid for her wedding. Papa didn't have enough money to pay for her wedding. And it might have been a small wedding. It might not have been all the biggest flowers you've ever seen or the biggest arrangement or all the fancy things that some people might have. But I tell you what, it means a lot more when it's earned. And I've had people apologize to me sometimes. They say, well, we don't have much of a house. We don't have much food. We don't have much of this other stuff. Listen, if you earned it, it's something. And I try not to look down on anybody that's earning an honest living in life. I try to teach everybody that I can. You never look down upon somebody for trying to earn an honest living in their life. If they're providing for their food, for their shelter, their clothing, it might not be the fanciest clothes that they wear. It might not be the nicest meat set upon their table by worldly standards. It might not be the nicest home that people drive by and say, oh, look how fancy that is. But something earned is valuable. And God has taught us that with quietness we work. And we're to eat our own bread. We're not to take advantage of other people. We're not to misuse people for our benefit. He said, but brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We should admonish people to work. And I'll even tell you some personal things that have meant a lot to me over the years. Right after I graduated high school, I went and worked cutting steel for Old Man Tree Stands. Now, they used to have a place in Hattiesburg, and I worked there. And we'd work 10-hour shifts. And I tell you, one day that made a big difference to me in my life. I don't know the man's name. I don't know him from Adam. But I was all sweaty and nasty and had oil on my hands, probably some blood on my hands from cutting myself on that raw steel. And I was pumping gas at a gas station. An older man came over to me and asked if he could shake my hand. And the only reason he wanted to shake my hand is he said, I admire a man that's willing to work. I tell you, there needs to be more men that take that as one of the biggest compliments or the rewards that they can have is somebody that would say, I appreciate that you're willing to work. A man that takes care of his wife, a man that takes care of his family, a man that labors and sweats and sets an example for his children, that we're going to do things honestly, we're going to do things upright. That is a good thing in the sight of the Lord. And again, I could even look on the woman's side of that. I've made the statement several times. I don't find a harder working person in the Scripture than you find in Proverbs 31 with the virtuous woman. She worked and she labored. She bought a field. She tended to it. She made goods with her hands. She took those clothes to the market. She sold them. I mean, she was doing all kinds of things. She took care of her household. She made sure that food was prepared for her house, even before it was daylight, and different things. And I commend good, godly, hard-working women because it's commended in Scripture. Let her works praise her. And I tell you, we should praise it ourselves. The husband praised her. The children praised her. Hard work should be praised, especially when it's done for the sake of taking care of our families and our necessities. Those are good things that are clearly taught by Scripture, and we're to have an honest report of all men, aren't we, as God's people? And I tell you, it's sad when you see God's people being so greedy of filthy lucre that they'll sacrifice integrity, they'll sacrifice honesty, and they'll do things that are not godly just to get a little bit ahead for themselves. That's not good. I tell you, it's good when there's little in righteousness. It's good when we put doing what's right first, and there is nothing wrong with sweating. Some people will say, oh man, I got all sweaty and nasty. And I'll even word it this way. I like what a man said years ago. He talked about how his mother had calloused hands. You know, because she worked around the house and different things. And she'd say, you know, Mama's hands weren't always the softest. I tell you what, those are the most beautiful hands you'll ever see. Well, Daddy, you know, he smelt like grass, or he smelt like oil, or you know, he smelt like the garden, or he smelt like the chicken farm where he worked at. I tell you what, it's the best smell you'll ever smell. In all honesty, if you know what it's worth to know somebody worked all day in an honest fashion and did their best to provide for their family, that should be a good thing. It should even be that when young women are looking for a husband, they look out and they see a man that's willing to work, and they say, now that's attractive. That's more attractive than good looks. That's more attractive than this car or this truck or all these other things. A man that'll work, now that's valuable. I wish that was a lot more attractive for people. And for young boys, that they would look out and they would see a woman that's willing to give, who's willing to work, who's willing to clean, who's willing to labor. I wish more men would look out and say, I tell you what, that sure is attractive. Those are good qualities that God has taught us to look for. There's nothing wrong with sweating. There's nothing wrong with earning an honest living. In fact, it is something to be honored and praised even by the Lord, that we would live a quiet and peaceable life and provide the necessities for our own family, for our own necessities. This is a good thing and upright in the eyes of the Lord. And as we grow as God's people, I tell you, it'll be a blessing to our neighbors, those round about us, when they see that we're willing to work and we're not waiting on somebody else to do things for us. We're not waiting for somebody else to feed us, somebody else to clothe us, somebody else to pay for our bills and all these other things, but we're willing to go out and labor. That is an honorable thing in the sight of the Lord. That doesn't make for an easy life, does it? But I tell you what, whatever you get in that kind of life, you're going to appreciate it. And I guarantee you this, when you sit down over a meal, you'll probably be more inclined, when you've worked and labored for something, to look at it and say, God, thank you for what you've allowed us to have. But things that are just given to you and you didn't earn it, you didn't have to work or labor for it, those things are easily neglected, aren't they? They're not appreciated. It is a good thing to be willing to sweat, to be willing to work, to be willing to labor for those things that are good. And it's also a blessing in how we can share Christ with others when people see our willingness to live a quiet, peaceable, working life, providing for the necessities of our family. This is the burden that God has given. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have verse of a song.